Welcome to the only place where cleaners and restorers can listen weekly and become rich cleaners simply by applying proven business growth strategies that we share here. Featuring industry legend Joe Polish and I'm Joel Cohen, together we bring you the Rich Cleaner Podcast.
Hello, this is Joel Polish, and I am here with Joel Cohen, and welcome to the Rich Cleaner Podcast. And today we've got a very special guest, Brandon Burton, who's the technical director at Legends Brands. And how are you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing very good, Joel, and Joe. Good to be with you today. Excited to have a discussion with you on cleaning and restoration.
Awesome. So, Joel, you know, there's many ways that we can introduce Brandon, but I think the very best thing to do would let him brag about himself and explain who you are and what you do.
All right, not at all a problem. Yeah, I'm with Legend Brands, been with the organization here for about 18 years, been in the cleaning and restoration industry for about 23 years now, and predominantly focused on the technical and training side of the industry. I've been a part of our organization's training department here for about the last 12 years. Had a chance to work with more than 6,000 cleaning and restoration professionals in my training career, and also work with a lot of the industry associations and standard writing bodies, et cetera. It's been a great time in the industry.
Yeah, awesome. Brandon, when you say training with Legend Brands, what does that training involve? Because it's a pretty extensive program you guys have, right?
Yeah, it is. In fact, we're the largest training body in the restoration industry, apart from the IICRC. We're the largest training provider. So we train somewhere in the neighborhood of about 6,000 or 7,000 restorers and cleaners every year through about 400 different training events and about 8 or 9 different course topics or subjects, if you will. Some of that's actually even done at our own campuses through hands-on training facilities where we actually flood and burn and otherwise destroy perfectly good buildings and bring people in to help us put them back together.
Nice. What do you think is like the impetus behind those, you know, that whole class structure, that whole, you know, training structure that's at Legend Brands? Why is that even in place?
Well, it's there for a couple of very, very important reasons. One is that, you know, this is an industry that it is very procedural, it is very technical, but at the same time, it's highly variable from one project to the next. You know, and trying to ensure that you deliver high-quality results at the same time in a variable environment like that, it requires a lot of good hands-on practical experience and good training. And on the other hand, even though it is a trade that has a certain amount of skill requirement behind it, it's a trade that doesn't have, you know, a whole lot of, you know, if you will, government regulatory bodies and things like that that tell us this is exactly what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. So training's an important part of our industry for a lot of those reasons.
Great.
Yeah, and you know what, Joel? I'd love to ask him a question, and I'll kind of sit back and be the observer here, because on the podcast that we do for Rich Cleaner, sometimes it's me and Joel together, sometimes it's just me, sometimes it's just Joel, and every once in a while, one of us will take the driver's seat, and the other one will take the other. And so, what I'd like to ask you is, Rich Cleaner. The term Rich Cleaner. What do you think it means to be a Rich Cleaner? If you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, for me that means quality of life for the operator of the business, the technician in the business, you know, those that are actually, you know, in the cleaning, and for in my particular case, I'd extend that to the restoration industry as well. You know, it's that overall quality of life. What product am I serving to my customer? How am I enriching their lives by what I'm delivering, and by doing so as a profession, you know, how does that enrich my life, both financially and just from an overall, you know, quality standpoint? And I think that's one of the things that's really unique about the cleaning and restoration industry is just the ability you have as a cleaner or restorer, you know, to improve the quality of life in an area that's so important to every individual in this country, and that's their home, their business, the place where they spend the majority of their time. We have a huge ability to make an impact there in both industries.
Yeah, nice. That's awesome. So, Joel, go. I'll let you. I mean, there's a lot of questions I could ask Brandon, but I'll let you kind of lead this.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah. No, I think that I like what your definition of what a rich cleaner is, and I think I could say that Legend Brands, I know they have a ton to offer that helps to produce that quality of life for cleaners. And I think you know, we're going to get into that and provide some real value for people listening in on the Rich Cleaner podcast today on the topic of restoration and what's changing in the restoration world, and you know, what people can be up to speed with as far as cutting-edge technology and information that's going to help them in the best way. So, yeah, I mean, we can just dive right into it if you like.
Absolutely.
And you picked there's an interesting topic that I really think that Joe and I can jump on too, because, you know, our goal with this podcast is, you know, to not only provide those cutting edge ideas, you know, technically and best practices technically, but to segue into how it can help cleaners use that technical information, use that expertise, and leverage it so that they can market that information to the right prospects and get business from it. And this first subject is great because we live in a world now where every technician, everybody who's out on a job site, I can't imagine there wouldn't be a case anymore where, I mean, they have this technology in Africa, for goodness sakes, which everybody has a cell phone, a mobile device that's, you know, fully capable of internet and, you know, all sorts of awesome technology. But you and I were discussing this, Brandon, is that, you know, not everybody's using it to the full. I mean, here you have this amazing device, this amazing capability on the job. You know, specifically, how have you seen that this can apply on the restoration job site?
Yeah, and there are a number of different ways that it can, and a number of different ways that it is being used, the technology is being used, just not really universally. It's availability versus its use, the two just don't match up. By our estimates, about 80% at a minimum, 80% of the technicians that are in the field today doing cleaning and restoration work have got some sort of a smart mobile device with them. And having said that, probably only 20 to 25% from what we see are actually using it in the business in a productive way. But there are a number of different ways that it can. You know, from a lot of the standard apps that are out there, from navigation tools to scheduling and mapping tools and routing tools to be efficient in getting from one location to the next, all the way through to contact management, project management, form management when working with customers, and then all the way through into monitoring and documentation and collecting job information. You know, all of these can be satisfied by the smart mobile device. And what's amazing about it is, and I think this is the case with a lot of the things that we see in our industry, is that initially, you know, our industry starts to use tools that were built for a different industry, and we kind of shoehorn them into what we do, mm-hmm. because we're typically a smaller industry than a lot of other industry that's out there. And then what we start to see over time is we start to see these tools slowly but surely be developed specifically for us, for our industry. And I could refer to everything from the cleaning equipment we use to the air movers we use. I think that everything has that same type of history to it. And we're seeing that now with mobile device technology. We're starting to see applications and software systems designed for our industry that integrate all the way through that workflow, everything from scheduling straight through to documentation and production.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I think that, you know, the assumed benefits of this are pretty obvious, but I mean, if you had to concisely, you know, tell people that are listening right now, you know, how can this apply, how can it benefit them, you know, what's the bottom line when it comes to utilizing this type of technology, and then is there a way that you would recommend searching for the right type of tool?
Yeah, and those are two big questions that I'll take the first one first. You know, just understanding what are at the high level, what are the benefits for using this kind of technology in the business? Because, you know, it's very easy for new and exciting technology to become overwhelming and become a bigger draw or demand on the business than a benefit. And I think that happens a lot when we see new technology. So we got to be careful to look at technology and make sure that we're getting more benefit than we are just drain and demand on the business to learn it, to understand it, to implement it, et cetera. And in this particular case, what you're looking for in the mobile technology is the ability to satisfy a couple of very specific needs that we have as a service business. Number one, you've got to make sure that the technology matches the user. You know, when you look at software, very typically the average technician in the field is going to have a pretty significant learning curve If you've got a technology that's built for somebody that would typically be sitting in an office at a computer, you know, using software. So typically field usable and software can be counterintuitive terms. So that's the first thing you got to look at. And we're seeing really good improvement there. When you look at a lot of the Android-type software that's out there and the Apple-type software that's out there, most of this software is actually designed for extremely simple user interface. And that's one of the things that's really important. It can't be a big, giant spreadsheet. It's got to be something where we simply touch and drag and drop and you're done. So really simple user interfaces. And that would be one of the first things that I would look at. And then secondly, you know, the other big demand and need that we have on us as an industry is that, and it's something that you know, I'd love to spend some more time talking about later in the call, but, you know, there's a lot of demand from insurance companies and other third parties on the degree, the content, the quality of the documentation that we're providing, especially in the restoration side of the industry. So that's the second piece you've got to look at. It's got to be simple, but does it cover all of the different bases in terms of monitoring and documentation?
Okay, that makes sense. And then, you know, before we move on to that, those third-party administrators, and talk a little bit about that, what do you think it does? It give somebody a cutting edge in regard to getting more business or getting, you know, a higher quality client or more clients because of this type of use of this type of technology in their business?
Absolutely, and I can give you a case after case where this has been proven out in our industry, that the professionalism behind the documentation that we provide is one of the most important marketing tools that we have in the restoration side of the industry, and it's a severely lacking skill set in the restoration space. And I have a good relationship with a number of the large insurance companies in this industry, just because it's necessary for us to maintain and understand their requirements as a stakeholder. And that's one of the most universal responses I get from insurers, is that they're absolutely baffled at the lack of quality in the presentation of the information at the end of a job. Now, as restorers, we're commonly submitting bills for $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 on a small project, and the documentation needs to match that value. Not to mention a $10,000 or $20,000 project. And when the documentation just lacks any level of professionalism, any level of clarity, or any level of completeness or consistency, it can actually be quite understandable why an insurance company would push back on payment. Because they just don't have anything there to justify what they're paying for.
So potentially, if someone were to go ahead and get this type of technology, they could leverage it and use that to market their services to insurance companies as a professional, way to present this information, make it, paint by number easy when they're doing the bill, that sort of thing, and then potentially get more jobs because of it?
Yeah, and what you're marketing is you're marketing the fact that, when we provide our cost for a project, all of the justification for that costing is going to accompany our documentation. There will be no questions for why we're charging what we're charging. It'll be clear, which from an insurance standpoint is one of the most important things that they're concerned about. And it's not necessarily how much the bill is, but is all the justification there, because that's what they get held accountable to.
Excellent. And I know we're focusing in on the restoration industry, but we've been talking to our clients on the cleaner side of things too, on the service end of things, and just utilizing that technology in a simple way. Because we all know that people's cell phones are with them 24/7, and you sleep with it next to your bed. And one of the things we've been utilizing is referrals in the industry, and so taking and training our the technicians that are out in the field, whether it's an owner operator or the tech that's on the van, to utilize a referral system with their phone. And it doesn't have to, there may be an app that somebody develops for this, which would be great, but it doesn't even have to go that far. Simply, when you're done with the job and the customer is happy, if you have a gift certificate that customer can hand out to all their friends and family that says, hey, use Brandon Burton's service, it's awesome. So whether that be, I'm not sure the application in the restoration world, but that may apply, but definitely in the service part of the industry with, cleaning and what have you, when they're happy at the end of the job, snapping a picture of a gift certificate And having the customer either do that, or having your technician or the owner-operator snap a picture of the gift certificate and having your client save that to their phone, what that does is opens up the potential for your client to have access to refer you 24/7 without having to remember your phone number, without having to remember the company name.
That's great.
It's all right there on their phone. And we all know that referrals are, they happen, you know, due to circumstances. So, you know, Mrs. Jones is at the coffee shop with her best friend, Mary, and, you know, they start talking about a conversation comes up that triggers the idea of carpet cleaning, and maybe Mary needs carpet cleaning. Mrs. Jones, your customer now, can text her the image of that gift certificate. That, plain and simple, has all your information, contact info on there, and she, Mrs. Jones, your client, has that with her 24/7 to make it happen. So just another example of using technology, that mobile device, you know, on the service side of things, too, to get referrals. But
yeah, let me say something to that. It's just as simple as the line I've always loved and have used for years, which is the difference between lettuce and garbage is timing. And so, you know, doing things in the right time and making it available and having your clients that refer you be able to defend with pride your company is critical for the growth of it. And the more that you can make the system ELF, you know, as we call here at Piranha, you know, easy, lucrative, and fun versus HALF, hard, annoying, lame, and frustrating, the more likelihood you're going to have success. And so, you know, going through the learning curve, and which is, before you go on the next question, Joel, Brandon, I'd love to get your perspective on what do you think are the biggest mental obstacles that keep cleaners and restorers from adapting new technologies and stuff. I mean, certainly there's levels of resistance and, you know, creatures of habit and all that stuff, but what do you think is, you know, the biggest reason people have difficulty opening themselves up and doing this?
Well, honestly, I think it's just because it's something new and different. It's kind of one of the age-old resistances, and that's the resistance to change. You know, and as a system, you know, we get very accustomed to doing things a certain way, whether it's the way in which we work through the motions of a project in the field, or the way in which we work through the motions of our paperwork and documentation. We get comfortable with that, and we start to resist change. And I think what's important to overcome that obstacle is just recognizing what the value is. What are the benefits in going through that hurdle to learn a new way to do it? You know, those values are the increase in business you see from the referral and marketing side, the ability for me to, on the restoration side, get paid much more quickly, manage my accounts receivable because we're not arguing over documentation. You know, there are a number of benefits that we can see, but I think that's what you have to use to pull them over the hurdle is just recognize what the value is.
Yeah,
you know,
awesome.
Joe, this reminds me of Peter's take on this. Peter Diamandis wrote the book Abundance, the New York Times bestseller, and the theme of one of the topics in that book and is about exponential growth in technology and the way of doing things, and how businesses that are stuck in a rut doing something the way it works and has always worked, as these new exponential technologies take over, you're seeing, you know, entire factories going out of business because now instead of, you know, producing a part in a certain way that's always been done, these newer technologies are happening faster than they can even anticipate, and the cost and production and different things are just, they're taking over. Joe, you probably can speak a little better to that. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah, I mean, Peter Diamandis is, you know, a client of mine. I headed up the book campaign for the book Abundance, and I'm a platinum partner in Singularity University, so I'm seeing all kinds of, exponential technologies and the application of it, and so part of it requires people to, you know, first and foremost, to change and adopt, and even what you said, Brandon, yeah, it's just, you know, it's the whole change thing, is you literally need to shift your perspective and shift your worldview. And realize that if you are not willing to look at something from a different frame of reference, putting on a new pair of glasses, you know, we can talk about technology all day long and how it will, you know, exponentially, not linearly, you know, build and grow your organization, which, you know, even saying that, I know there's going to be 1 out of 100 people that are going to hear that and actually grasp it. And I'm hoping that it will shift that. And so what I would say is, read the book Abundance. It has nothing to do with a cleaning or restoration company. What it has to do is the future. And the future is shifting in incredible ways, from manufacturing with 3D printing to sensors and networks to artificial intelligence to, everything that's being done in the medical and health industry, to the space industry, and all kinds of different stuff. So as it relates to, exponential, I mean, I think we should even, maybe put a link on our Rich Cleaner podcast to my interview with Peter Diamandis, so they can just kind of go deep with this subject and formulate it that way, and then take what, Brandon is talking about, and at the end of this podcast say, okay, what are three insights or three things that I can actually implement and shift and pick one at a time and just start putting them in place in your business and start immersing yourself in this level of thinking, and we'll continue to go deep with this subject and with the changes and stuff as with our relationship with, Legend Brands, and, keep people in the loop on it.
Yeah, that makes sense. RichCleaner.com is where they're going to go to be able to get that. That's the Rich Cleaner podcast. But, it's just, this is all about, this whole podcast is about staying current with not only technical aspects, but marketing aspects of things. And so these go hand in hand. So, moving on, Brandon, you're explaining that TPAs or third-party administrators, for those who maybe are just getting into the industry here, they're the middle guy for the claims management between restorers and the insurance agent, right?
Yeah, well, this is another area of significant change in the restoration side of the industry over the last several years, is this growth of the third-party administrator, commonly referred to by those that are familiar with them as TPAs. And they're exactly that, Joel. They're the in-between. They're managing the claims process, the reporting process, even in many cases the billing and collection process for a restorer and or an insurer.
And you said the number of these TPAs are growing at a pretty rapid rate. And so, why is that important for somebody to know and be aware of that?
Well, the reason it's important is because at the end of the day, if we have a business, we also need to have work. Because no matter how good our business is at doing the work, if we're not getting the work, then we're going to run into some challenges. And there are many methods, obviously, at acquiring that work and generating leads and business and projects and jobs. But in this space, third-party administrators are becoming a larger and larger portion of the source of work for many restoration companies. And there are a good number of these third-party administrators. The number of administrator organizations, if you will, is growing. But even more importantly, the size of some of these organizations is growing phenomenally. They're becoming quite large. And there are a number of them that are out there. A simple search on Google, if you will, for third-party administrators in restoration, and you're going to see a lot of information. You'll see articles written for a number of the trade magazines and reviews. You'll see a lot of comments that are made in social media, things like LinkedIn, et cetera, where there's entire forums dedicated to the subject.
So you're saying that basically knowing about these can help them to tap or to get more business because they know about more opportunities. There's many, many more of these TPAs around. Is that right?
Yeah, and what's most important with that, Joel, is understanding the personality of some of these different third-party administrators, because some are going to be a great fit for some businesses and not for others. It depends a lot on your business model and just how you're set up as a restorer, and even geographically where you're at. And you can proactively make a decision on which of these third-party administrators you want to prepare to work with. You don't have to just take the work as it comes to you from a third-party administrator. You can literally decide ahead of time, these are the administrators that fit well with my business, so let me establish a proactive relationship with them, sign up in some cases depending on who that organization is, and literally begin to do program work for some of these organizations. Or you can decide on the contrary to that, you can decide that, this is not my avenue for work, and understand it's a growing area. So at the very least, it causes you to step back and say, well, what are my mechanisms then for creating work?
Yeah, I love that. Because at Piranha, we pick and choose, who we want to align with. It's not like, even on this podcast, for example, it's like we don't want every single person in the industry to be
listening in and aligning with us and aligning with our values. We have a certain standard. We know who our target listener is, who our target client is, and we make everything that we do is made to hone in on that. And so I love the stance that you're talking about taking with these TPAs, is knowing how to align with the right type of people, the right type of business. So, in regard to, is there anything else you wanted to say about TPAs and how people can benefit? I mean, how can they find out about, more about these, and if they wanted to just tap into a certain type,
What I would encourage, is for some research into some of the very well-written articles that are available in some of the standard trade publications. But a simple Google search for third-party administrators in restoration. In fact, I just ran that again this morning just to see what all it was most current that was pulling up. There's a lot of great information out there. But I wouldn't give you one particular single source because I think it's important to look at least a couple of the different opinions on some of the different entities because it is a mixed set of feelings out there on some of the different groups.
Okay. All right. Well, good. That would be a good resource. So, in regard to Legend Brands being, you were talking about how, you guys are always cutting edge in all sorts of areas, but in the area of restoration, it seems like the things that were, bigger as far as technology goes, like bigger things like air movers, dehumidifiers, those things, Legend Brands is working on actually making smaller restoration and equipment and that sort of thing. Can you talk about how that's beneficial and why people should be interested in what's going on in that arena?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the great advancements that we've seen in the technology behind drying and drying equipment here in recent is the fact that we're able to get a lot more out of a lot less, whether it's in size, weight, power consumption, no matter how you evaluate it, the equipment is becoming a heck of a lot more efficient and much more productive. And a great example of that would be to get real specific with a couple of the most recent models that we've brought out at Legend Brands, which would be on the dehumidification side, the new Revolution dehumidifier and the new Velo air mover. Both of these are about half the size of a comparable unit of just 5 or 6 years ago in terms of their physical stature and weight, but their performance is equal to, if not greater than, those units of that same size that we manufactured at that time, which is pretty amazing, the fact that we're able to get so much more out of such a smaller package, both from energy and from size. And the reason that's important is because, today, you just think about some of the pressures on your business today in terms of fuel economy, transportation, how invasive it is to be in somebody's home drying after a flood or a water damage. Anything that we can do to make things smaller, lighter, use less power, easier to transport, and be less in the way, so to speak, and adding to the trauma of having a flood or a fire in your home or business is going to be highly advantageous, both from a cost perspective and from a marketing perspective at the same time.
Yeah, because, these sort of things, they matter to the homeowner on the job, and, how do you think a cleaner could market that, and is it only important to the homeowner, or is it important to the, insurance company as well? How does that fit in?
That's a great question, and it's important to all parties involved. Start with the homeowner, just talking about some of the things that I would directly market to a property owner if I were using this technology. Is that, when I put an air mover, for example, I've got to put not just one into a home or a living room. I've got to use 4 or 5 or 6 of these things in that space. And that can make things, really challenging, just being able to use the space for normal occupancy while we're dealing with this type of an issue. And these newer air movers, for example, are only using about 30% of the space, the floor space, that a traditional air mover would use. So we're being far less intrusive in the space. We're using a lot less power, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 40% of the power, which is a huge reduction on the electric bill that we're racking up on the home or building that we're drying. And even though it's, that in and of itself is a good benefit, sometimes one of the most annoying parts to a property owner of having equipment running in their house because they've had a flood or a fire is, you know, two things. Number one, the noise, which we're taking a huge step back from because we're using less power and we're being more efficient. We're not making as much noise. The second is that every time I go to plug in a hair dryer and turn it on, I'm throwing circuits.
Oh, yes.
Using the home.
I see.
So when I'm more efficient and I'm using less power, you know, we're not creating that same type of just invasive nature being present. So it's a far less intrusive experience for the property owner, which is amazing.
Brandon, let me ask you, how many cleaners and restorers do you think are simply, I mean, not that there'd be an exact answer for this, but just, you know, in your experience, are just completely unaware of the new technologies and the things that you're talking about? I mean, how many of them do you think are still in the dark and don't realize the advancements that have, you know, taken place over the last few years, or, you know, some that are still, you know, operating on, you know, 2 decades old technology?
Gotcha. That's a great, great question. My estimate, and I work with, like I said, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 6,000 or 7,000 restorers a year through our training group. But my estimate would be that probably 40 to 50% of the industry is at least aware that technology has made some substantial changes in the last couple of years. And of that percentage, about half truly understand the benefit.
Yeah, and it's a great point. And the reason I bring that up, I mean, a lot of this is maybe a little self-serving for what we do here at Piranha, but I'll still read comments occasionally. I quit reading some industry, you know, bulletin boards and places where, you know, cleaners would share their, you know, sometimes educated opinions, and many times they're completely ignorant opinions. And, you know, where they would actually talk about, oh, you know, I don't use that Joe Polish's stuff, you know, that because it doesn't work and it's whatever. And they would be talking about stuff that I created in 1994, which is still more advanced than I think most of the marketing stuff I see, you know, even today. And it amazes me how certain people just get so stuck in a specific mindset in a way that they do things. And those are also the same companies that never really get off the treadmill. You know, there's ladder entrepreneurs and there's treadmill entrepreneurs, and both of them put forth effort. The difference is one actually keeps growing and growing and going up and advancing, and the other just kind of stays on the treadmill. And the ones that are on the treadmill tend to complain more than they do to create. And so, just, you know, being aware of this is another way for us to, you know, reach cleaners and restorers and share with them actually what's going on. So if they're not aware of it, they are, and secondly, you know, where to go and how to assist with that. And I think I'd like to talk with the time we have available about, you know, what is the unique way that Legends Brands, you know, uses the rewards program for the restorers and some of the things that you guys are doing and that we're collaborating on together that can, you know, that can help all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, first, let me start with this. You know, we recognize here at Legend Brands that the only way that we're going to be successful is if we're 100% centered and focused on making the user of the products and services that we produce successful. You know, that's the only way that we're going to see any long-term success. We recognize that. It's been our focus since 1981, with the original inception of the organization. And that's exactly true today. And Legend Rewards is just another extension of that recognition, if you will. We know that you know, we need to create every opportunity that we can to create value in the partnership that our customers have with Legend Brands. And Legend Rewards is, you know, it's very unique to this industry in that I don't know that there are really any other parties in this industry that offer a program like this, where we allow, you know, through purchase and participation with our different programs and products, you know, our customers to accumulate points and use those for whatever they want to create value in their life. You know, whether it's you know, making an investment into Piranha Marketing, or if it's an investment into equipment for their service business, even if they just want to take a vacation. You know, they can use the points that they're acquiring through Legend Brands for all the above. I actually had a, you know, one real neat story. I don't know if you'd heard this or not, Joe or Joel, but there was actually one user of our point system that actually decided what they wanted at the end of the day was a purebred hunting dog.
Of wow. All
that. And that's what they ended up saving up points for, and that's what they got, and had some great stories come back of you know, the new family friend, so to speak, that they acquired through their relationship with Legend Brands. So
that's pretty cool. Yeah, when we were putting together the webinar for Legend Brand and Piranha, you know, talking about every door direct mail, that, you know, that one of the things we were talking about is some special rewards you could get from Legend by just simply downloading the Every Door Direct Mail postcard that we put together. So, I mean, you didn't have to do anything special. You just take advantage of watching the webinar. You download the postcard that you would need, which is the template, and you know how to, and put it into place. And when you did that, we gave away Legend Brand rewards. I think it was 2,500 Legend Brand rewards just for doing that. And actually, you could still do that if you go to richcleaner.com/elite. There's a page there where you have a choice to either become part of what Piranha has to offer, or you can choose to just download the postcard. The Every Door Direct Mail postcard and the instructions and the tutorials on how to use it. And anyway, when we were putting that together that we were going to be offering some Legend Brand rewards, we said, well, you know, let's make it really clear to people that are on this webinar that maybe don't know about Legend Rewards, what it is and how it works. And the marketing department at Legend sent over just, I mean, it was more than we could use. There were like 20 testimonials of people that had used Legend Rewards, and the unique thing about it is that these people that are taking advantage of it are smart because they're not spending any more money than they would normally spend on operating their business. They're just going about their normal cleaning or restoration business, buying chemistry, and of course you have to buy Legend brand chemistry or equipment or all that stuff. But here's the thing: is there's probably not a van in the entire carpet cleaning universe that doesn't have a product or a chemical or something on their van that is Legend Brands. But anyway, so you're doing what you normally do with your business, and then all of a sudden you get all these points racked up. You have to register for it, though. That's the thing. You have to be a registered Legend Brand or Legend Rewards member, which is free, comes with bonus points anyway. I mean, it's like the coolest thing since sliced bread. I don't know why everybody isn't taking advantage of it, because in some way, shape, or form, Legend Brands is such a huge player in this industry, both on the restoration and the cleaning side, especially with ChemSpec being relaunched and being the well-known brand that it was and now is becoming. It just makes sense. So you can go to Legend. I highly recommend it. I mean, we get no benefit from this whatsoever. Like Brandon was talking about, this is just a reward program for customers who are already buying stuff. Go to legendrewards.com and sign up. It's free. You get 1,000 bonus points. If you actually go to what I was telling you and sign up and get the postcard that we did a webinar on, you can watch the webinar, you can get the postcard, and get even 2,500 more points on top of that. And so you can start out with enough points in your account, a Legend Rewards account, to start getting some cool stuff. Because I was looking up, well, what do people get if they get these 2,500 bonus points and they get 1,000 Legend Reward points? What can they do? And you could actually buy some really cool stuff with that amount of points. So I recommend go to richcleaner.com/elite, which is spelled E-L-I-T like Tom E. And that will tell you everything you need to know to get the maximum amount of Legend Reward bonus points. Or if you just want to sign up for Legend Rewards, just go to legendrewards.com. Really, really cool stuff there. A great way you guys take care of your customers and those who are using your products and chemicals.
Yeah, it's been an exciting program. I've been amazed at how many folks we have had sign up over the life of the program. But we're well above several thousand users that are active in the program. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah. What I was going to say was, it's just dawning on me because we are early on for everyone listening. You, Brandon, are our second interview that we've actually done for the Rich Cleaner podcast. And the first one we did was with Bill and Dennis, Bruder. And basically, if you've not listened to that yet, go to richcleaner.com and listen to that episode, because I think you're going to find that to be really, really valuable. And subscribe to the Rich Cleaner podcast on iTunes if you want to have it automatically sent to you for free. And this will be the school that pays you to attend. And one of the things that we're going to strive for, and we will accomplish it,
is this will be the go-to training and conversation to give you a whole new perspective and worldview and provide professional cleaners and restorers with direction, confidence, and capabilities. And we're looking for ethical cleaners and restorers, the ones that really are in the relationship business, not the transaction business. They want to be on the cutting edge of what is going on. They are striving. We really like achievement entrepreneurs, too, that really want to build and grow their businesses and just, you know, develop an elf business and do things in an elf manner, easy, lucrative, and fun versus a half manner, which is hard, annoying, lame, and frustrating, sometimes hard, annoying, lucrative, and frustrating. And we're going to help clarify some of the confusion and the misinformation that takes place in the industry. We're going to literally introduce you to really smart people like we're doing here with Brandon today, and vice versa. And we're going to collaborate together as we are and just continue to help cleaning and restoration companies build and grow their businesses. So, Joel, any other questions you have for Brandon? Then I've got maybe one or two more things.
Yeah, I would just, if we're kind of wrapping up here, Brandon, I know we didn't get to touch on every topic that we had planned on, but if there was one thing that out of what we did discuss that people should be taking away, who's someone who's listening to the podcast right now, what would you say is one of the most important things that we discussed that they should take away that could benefit their business?
Well, just be aware of how the industry is making some very, very critical changes at the present. And it's something you want to pay attention to and be in the forefront of. The mobile technology piece, I know that it can sound like a kind of a broken record conversation these days with how fast technology is changing across all parts of our lives. But right now is the time that that's impacting this industry. And it's one of those things you're either going to be a part of, and you're going to embrace it, and it's going to allow you to catapult your business, or it's going to be one of those things 5 years from now you're looking back and saying, man, I wish I was a part of that because I really missed out.
Great, yeah. And, being plugged into the Rich Cleaner podcast, if you subscribe to it, of course we're going to keep you up to speed on what the latest and greatest is. So, as far as technology goes and marketing too. So that's all I had to say, Joe. What were the other things you wanted to cover?
Yeah, it's almost like you just kind of touched on it, but if you want to go a little bit deeper on it, Brandon, if there's anything that we didn't ask or could have talked about or that you really are like, I really need to share this, is there anything that we did not ask or any topic that you think is just really awesome and really valuable that you'd like to share that we haven't, anything along those lines?
Well, I'll give two things, just as closing comments. One real specific call to action for anybody who's in the restoration space of the industry or is at least entertaining the idea of being in the restoration space, really pay attention to what's happening with our industry standards. If you're not familiar with it already, there's a standard document that's used in our industry called the S500, and it is an ANSI-accredited document. Without getting into all the details, that means that it's got a lot of teeth. So be familiar with it. It's going through a lot of changes right now, and it's very prescriptive on certain parts of what we do. So be familiar with it. Know that it's changing. Stay current with it. The second would be is I'll put in a touch on to the software that we have available through Legend Brands. We understand the technology is changing rapidly. We're trying to stay in the forefront of it with you. So take a look at the software we have available at dryplan.com, and that's dryplan.com, and you'll see where we're helping you take mobile technology to where it needs to be.
Oh, do you got a couple more minutes, Brandon? Because if you do, I'd actually like to go a little deeper on what you said about the S500 standards.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and also, to all of our listeners, we will put all of the links on the richcleaner.com site where the podcast is. So anything related to our conversation here that directly go to, if there's one place, it'll be right there. What are the benefits of keeping up to speed and following the S500 standards, and what happens if someone does not?
Well, the most concise response to that possible would be that if you're not following the S500 standard document, you're going to run into a lot of obstacles in your communication and work with the insurance community. They know the standard. They utilize the standard as a means to evaluate the work that's being done. And if what you've done isn't justified by, described by, or in some way, shape, or form covered by that standard, you're going to find yourself with a lot of opposition. On the other hand, if you are utilizing it, you're going to find that there's a lot of really great guidance and efficiency and checks and balances to ensure that you're covering all the bases appropriately and that you're doing all the steps that are really needed. So for both of those reasons, it's a great, great guidance document.
Okay, and I'll say this too, because with talking with Joel before we did the interview, you know, the S500 guidelines, they're longer, there's much more content, there's even a fourth revision. What is Legends Brand doing to help restores and implementing these the S500 standards?
That's a great question. Two things. One, all of our training that we provide, mentioned that a little bit earlier in the call today, but all the training that we provide is consistent with the S500, and we verify and ensure that that's the case by participating very actively in the revision and maintenance of that standard. I personally sit on the parent committee that authors the standard, and I'm active at a very high level with that group to ensure that not only do we know what is in the document, how it's changing, so that we can bring that to our partners and to our students and our customers, but also to make sure that the document remains responsible to the work being done. And that it's applicable, that it's realistic, and that it really does represent best practices.
Awesome. And so that's it. This is a lot of great content there, so I hope all of our listeners found this valuable. Joel, anything else that I missed? Or Brandon, is there anything else, that any famous last words from either one of you?
I would say, you know, what I always say is, you know, take what you're listening to today and don't just say, hey, you know, that's great information, Joel, Joe, and Brandon, you know, awesome. But take action. Whatever that action may be, no matter how tiny it may be, even as simple as, you know, take the action of going to legendrewards.com. Take the action of subscribing to the Rich Cleaner podcast. Those little tiny actions add up, and they end up in huge results in your company. So, you know, seize what we've given you, take action on it, and make your future better.
Absolutely. Anything else from you, Brandon?
No, I just greatly appreciate the time and the opportunity to share some information with this group. And if we can, you know, provide some more information as the industry continues to change, I look forward to the opportunity to do this again.
Awesome. And, yes, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And to all of our listeners, if you know anyone in the cleaning and restoration industry that needs to hear this, then share this with them. It's It's a free podcast. It is filled with valuable information. We're going to continue to provide you with direction, confidence, and capabilities on a regular basis. And this will be the go-to conversations for that the top cleaners and restorers in the world listen to. And like I'd mentioned on previous podcast episodes, we've got both our companies, Legend Brands and Piranha, we have thousands of cleaners and restorers that utilize both of our trainings and our services and our products. And we've got companies that are, you know, single, you know, operators to one of my clients is the largest privately held contract cleaning company in the U.S. that does over $310 million a year in revenue with over 7,000 employees. So we know all kinds of different aspects of how to build and grow a successful operation, and that's what we're here to help you do. So thank you again, Brandon, and thank you, Joel. And we'll talk to everyone on the next episode of Rich Cleaner podcast. And go to richcleaner.com for all of the links that Brandon talked about and to post your comments. And we'll talk to you on the next episode. Take care.
That concludes another value-packed episode of the Rich Cleaner podcast. To get the resources and links discussed on this episode, be sure to visit richcleaner.com. Also, be sure to check out the latest episodes added to richcleaner.com weekly. And don't miss out on the bonus videos, extras, and a place you can leave comments and ask questions. Go to richcleaner.com today.